Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and Mark Brunel. Sponsored by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
All right, here we go. Jaguars Thursday from the HananiaAutos.com studios. Brian Sexton, Mark Brunel, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato. Coach, you don't want to stay. this is going to be a little too much. There's head coach Gus Bradley, who was just with us, and we appreciate him every Thursday for the Gus Bradley Show. First of all, congratulations.
Thanks, Brian.
I haven't seen you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey,
quite
Gus,
an honor.
What's Gus doing? He's drawing pictures on my dang board.
Yeah. You don't use it anyway.
Oh, I do too.
Boom. Shot right across the bow.
Very important.
He's all over that board.
Golly, I got all kinds of drawings and everything.
You notice there's a pizza there for you.
Oh, I got that.
I got it taken care of for you.
No, you don't give me that.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, it's there for you, Baselli. Yeah. I got it there.
Open that thing
I don't
up.
Have to bother with it on Monday.
No, we don't eat on the air. It's unprofessional.
As Baselli moves it out of your reach. All right, so here we go. The Jaguars 0-4, and they trade away. Would you call Eugene Monroe your best offensive lineman?
No.
I wouldn't, but.
A lot of people did this week. So your thoughts on, from a player's perspective in particular, a trade 4 weeks in, how does that affect the locker room, the chemistry, all of that stuff?
Well, it's going to make it nervous. But, I mean, that's not a bad thing sometimes when you're 0-4. You know, but here's the reality. Eugene Monroe in the first two games played poorly. You agree, Tony?
Yep.
Okay, offensive lineman expert. Right? And I'm just throwing it out there, see if he agrees. Game three was better. Game four was probably a step back from game three.
It was better, though. It wasn't as bad as the first two.
It wasn't as bad as the first two.
Right.
But, I mean, here you got a guy who is in the last year of his contract. If you were to keep him, it would cost a ton of money. A ton of money.
That's $10 million for a franchise.
Well, and he hasn't warranted $10 million a year.
No. So your chances are you're going to lose him. The most you can get for him as a compensatory pick, as far as losing him in free agency, is a fourth-round pick. So why not get something better than that? Because a compensatory pick would be late in the fourth round. So now you're going to get something that's not late in the fourth round necessarily, and then you add a fifth-round pick to it. To me, big picture looking 3 years down the road because, this is a three-year deal with this, you know, the regime.
Yeah.
Smart move.
Mark, when I heard fourth and fifth round pick, because it was speculation that it was two third-day picks and people were thinking, well, they were sevens. When I heard four and five, I texted you right away. I said, that's a no-brainer. Fourth and fifth, that's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, big picture, good move. Right now, concerning, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, it's coming from a quarterback who counts on those guys up front. You know what? And he wasn't stinking it up. You know, and I don't know, and I'd like to ask your guys' opinion about the guy that's coming in.
Patrick.
You know, will he, you know, how much of a drop is that, you know?
Well, I mean, guys, it's not like this offensive line was performing at a high level.
They're on a pace for 72 sacks allowed this year.
The quarterback's already getting killed.
Have you ever been sacked 72 times in a season?
No, 50-something
close.
Maybe. Close, yeah.
But my point is, they're giving up hits. They're giving up pressure. They couldn't run the ball. Well, I think it's a brilliant move. I don't think they're any worse off with Pazdor at right tackle and Luke Jokel at left. In fact, listen, getting Luke Jokel to his natural position where he's going to play hopefully the next 10 years in a position that he excelled at, what made him the number two pick overall, I think is great for Luke. I think it's great for this team. I think, listen, we'll get into this a little bit. He has a huge test this week against a very good player, so we're not going to judge everything based on one Sunday coming up. But over the course of the season, I think he's going to settle in and play very well at that position. Pazdor, if he holds off Bradfield and keeps that job, you know, he's a starter right now. He's a physical kind of barroom brawl type of guy. He's not a great pass blocker, but he's a big physical guy. And he's going to force guys because of his size and his length to run at least the hump. And I think he's going to be a physical run blocker. And so I like it. I think it makes people a little bit on edge in the locker room, which I think is good. I think it'll change the offensive line room in a manner that put guys on notice. And I think long term it's a no brainer because you get the four and the five, And I think right now I'm fine with it, because it'd be one thing if this was a unit that was performing great and doing a great job, and Dave Caldwell said, well, we're still going to make the move because we want the 4-5 for the long term, and this is a long-term view. But I look at it right now. I go back to 96 when they didn't trade, but they cut Andre Rison, who was the starting wide receiver. At that point, and everyone says, oh, we had Jimmy Smith. Come on. No one knew Jimmy Smith was going to be Jimmy Smith at that point. I mean, he did some nice things, and he was a good player, but no one knew. But Andre Rison was a guy who was very talented and had the ability to make huge plays, but did his own thing half the time and caused all kinds of problems for the guy sitting next to me. They got rid of that, and if you remember the day when they cut him, the locker room was upset overall.
There was a lot. That'd be debatable.
No, but there was a lot of guys in that locker room were like, oh, I can't believe they're cutting Andre Rison and all this stuff. And I'm not saying, you know, that was the reason we went on to win all the games, but it shook up the locker room a bit and changed things. And
I think it's apples and oranges. I know it was a surprise cut back then, but Eugene's not a problem. He doesn't have a group of guys he's running with in the locker room like Drake.
He
doesn't
give pregame emotional speeches
that epic pregame.
Well, I wish he did. Listen, I'd been fine
stopped
if
stopped at the bar on the way before it.
I'd have been fine if Andre gave more speeches like that. He got 162 touchdowns that day.
But Dre was hurting the team.
No, I agree with that part. I'm not comparing Andre and Eugene from that sense. I'm just saying when you shake things up like that, you go back to then, it wasn't like, you know, cutting Andre was going to help because of the locker room's issues and everything else. But this is not a unit that is playing great. And so
But here's the reality. You're not going to get better right away. You're not. And that's why you have a GM and you have a coach. Okay? The coach wants to deal most of the times with the here and now. And the GM has got to be able to have a big picture assessment of where the roster is at and where it needs to go. You know, the reality is, are they going to get better this week because Luke Jokel's playing left tackle and Eugene Monroe's gone and Austin Pasdor is playing right tackle? Hell no. They're not going to get better this week. And if anybody says that, they're crazy.
Well, let me ask you this. Is the line worse going into this game?
Yes.
Is it worse going into this game?
Yes. For this game, yes. Now look, does Luke Jokel become a cornerstone left tackle? Yeah, maybe. You know, so what you're doing here is you're just accelerating what was going to happen. You know,
yeah, I'm not sure how much worse.
You're taking some steps back because, look, the reality is Luke Jokel's not going to be able to step right in and feel comfortable. That's hard.
Oh, I disagree.
That's hard to. No, oh, come on, Tony.
I think he'll. He'll step in left tackle and feel more confident.
No
more
way. No way. Not in 1 week. You can't do it. Now, in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, then yeah, he may feel comfortable.
I think just the fact that he's playing the position that he wants to play.
And Austin Pasdor at right tackle is not going to be an improvement from Luke Jokel. But, I mean, that's why you have a general manager who has the big picture look. Because you got to have a big picture look on a team like this.
You know, I said to you in our last show, and I said to the coach, the comments of Jokel about how excited he was to go to left tackle.
I think it's great.
It spoke something to me. I'm not sure the depth of it, but it did say something where I thought, wow. You know, I expected Luke, the kind of guy he is, to go, hey, you know, I was over here, now I'm over here. And he said he was really excited about it. So you tell me, did he struggle at right tackle?
No, I thought he was getting better at all the time. Now I get that he will eventually feel way more comfortable at left tackle. And it won't take as long as where he was getting comfortable at the right tackle spot. It's more natural for him. What, 39 games in college at left tackle? However many high school games that he played at left tackle. But it's difficult to go from one side to the other in 1 week, even though you're returning back to that old comfortable bike that you've been riding for so long, to feel like it was there all along. That it's still an adjustment period. And one heck of an adjustment when you got a guy across the ball who is one of the elite pass rushers in the National Football League.
Robert Quinn, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Zach is our first caller. He's in Colorado Springs. Hello, Zach. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you tonight?
Good.
Got a quick comment about the Eugene Monroe trade and kind of a big picture overview of the whole deal. Like, I understand where Dave Caldwell's coming from. He's probably our best asset, and we trade him now, a guy that we're probably not going to keep long-term, and we get what we can for him. And, you know, he probably will end up, when he's playing in Baltimore, he might make a couple Pro Bowls or whatnot, but...
Why would he all of a sudden understand. Make a couple Pro Bowls in Baltimore? You gotta enlighten me on that.
Well...
I'm missing something there.
He has shown the potential where he can play.
Listen,
potential's
swell.
Level.
Potential's real swell, but I mean...
It doesn't get you Pro Bowl.
I mean, it doesn't get you the Pro Bowl. So, I mean, listen, I'm not here... I'm not going to bash Eugene Monroe or anything, but I'm just saying... Boy, it's a huge jump to all of a sudden we're going to put him in the Pro Bowl because he went to Baltimore.
Those new laws are really making calls from Colorado interesting. 355-NFL-1. Let's grab Leon from Virginia Beach. Hello, Leon. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Good.
See the difference between Colorado and Virginia?
Just a little bit. A little bit. I had a couple things. I'm going to try to make them quick. First thing, like I said, I'm from Virginia Beach, so it's kind of hard to be part of the whole Jacksonville movement.
Hold on. You're Virginia Beach. Why a Jaguars fan of Virginia Beach? Are you Navy?
Well, parents both are, but I was born in Jacksonville. As soon as they got the team, I immediately jumped on the bandwagon and been following them ever since. So
beautiful.
So, the first thing I want to say is that since I'm so far away, it's hard to be part of the movement. So the first thing I did today was I went on and contributed to the Tony Basile Foundation.
Thank
which
you.
I want to say for people who are out of town who don't feel like they can do anything, like, you know, season tickets or whatever. Great, great, great foundation.
Favorite caller of the year.
So much better doing it.
You just got yourself status at the front of the line. Listen, whatever, is going to make me put you on.
You call anytime you want, and you tell Joe who you are, and you go to the front of the line.
Hey, listen, it depends on how much you
give.
I don't care. If it's a dollar.
I just did $30. That's took away my membership that I never go to, and I contributed to the Tony Foundation.
Hey, if it's $1, you're the man. I appreciate it.
So, absolutely. So that was that, and just everybody come on board with that because it's a great foundation. The other thing is, in relation to the Eugene trade, I agree, if we're going to let him walk 12 games for now, hey, we got something for him. Absolutely, do it. My thing is, why wasn't he part of the long-term plan? That's what I'm struggling to realize. Why wasn't he part? I mean, he's 26. I mean, was it? You say all the time, you know, scheme is, it's not really that big a deal, but was it scheme? Was it him not buying in? You know, you hear so many things now. It's like, you know, why not? Why not keep him? Why not keep him?
Hey, if Eugene had played like a Walter Jones or a Tony Baselli, he would be. I mean, there's no doubt he would be. But he wasn't. And then you go back and you evaluate the years prior. So, okay, well, maybe he's having an off year. Last year's best game, Jared Allen opener against Minnesota. And then I think the play at from that point started to decline. And if you're going to be a cornerstone left tackle, when you've got one that you just drafted, you had better perform to the level of your pay and perform better than the level of the guy you just drafted could possibly achieve. They clearly believe that Luke Jokel can be a better left tackle than Eugene Monroe. That statement right there is obvious with the trade.
Well, and I'll go even further. I mean, you look at the salary cap and how the NFL is set up, and if you're going to allocate $10 million a year to a position, he better be a Pro Bowl, you know, borderline all-pro type of player that you can count on week in and week out. And if he's not that, you cannot invest those dollars. And the bottom line is, Eugene Monroe was going to keep him. You might have to franchise him. Or in the crazy, funny money of free agency, he gets out there and you start bidding and competing against other teams, you might end up having to pay more than you're willing to pay because you have to slot your dollars according to the positions where you're going to pay guys. And if you're going to invest that type of money, he has to be a really, really good player. And consistently, Eugene, over his career, just did not show that.
Cover it for you?
That does. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, man. Thanks.
Leon, thanks for the call. All right. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's step aside. When we return, more with these three on the Jaguars, the Rams, the move with Eugene. You can call us here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, Jaguars make the move. Eugene Monroe, Baltimore Raven, trade made official today. Luke Jokel steps over in practice yesterday. The deal is done. The question now is having sent this signal that they're thinking big picture, is there anybody else on the roster who might be available? Now, David Caldwell today spoke with the media. He said Puz Lesny would be here, Maurice Jones-Drew would be here, and that they're not
unless he gets offered a first-round pick for any one of those guys.
There you go. That changes it,
but I mean, the reality
but
is...
But he's not going to.
Yeah, but the value of those players is not going to equal what they want. You know, so, I mean, are any of those guys tradable? I mean, Maurice Jones-Drew, let's go to him.
No.
$5.5 million salary, 2.5 yards a carry, 2.4 yards per
coming
carry.
Coming off Liz Frank.
You know, got a foot thing going on, got an ankle thing going on. You know, how many teams are going to want to give up something for that? Not many.
Nope.
Paul Posluszny, got a high cap number. Very good player. Very good player. I think that's probably one guy that they want to keep.
Yeah, I agree.
Period, going forward. Mercedes Lewis, another guy that,
hasn't you know, played.
That's got value if he's healthy. He hasn't played. He's got, what, a $7 million plus cap number, something of that nature. Is he tradable? I mean, how many teams can fit $7 million in? I mean, you look at the Eugene Monroe trade. To make that happen, according to Aaron Wilson of the Baltimore Sun, I believe it is, the newspaper in Baltimore, the Jaguars gave Eugene Monroe $2.35 million signing bonus so that the Ravens wouldn't be responsible but for about a $500,000 of his salary.
Yeah, they played with the cap to make the cap work.
Yeah.
Well, so, they put the value of a fourth and a fifth-round pick at $2.35 million is what they did.
Absolutely.
They said it's that important to us.
There would be a bunch of teams that would pay that money to get those picks.
Absolutely.
A bunch of teams.
I mean, the only other guy, I mean, is a guy like Dwight Lowry. Because one of the guys, I mean, that I was impressed with how he played in the game was Josh Evans. Now, he made some mistakes, but he flies around. He's a young guy, has speed.
Like him.
And I like him a lot.
Well, the concussion obviously would slow that process down.
With Dwight.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, I'm not saying Dwight's a candidate or anything, but Josh is a guy I would like to see him and Sip be the two safeties that you roll with the rest of the year and let them play together, let them get a chemistry, and grow with those guys going forward, because I think Josh Evans is going to be a good player. He has the speed and explosiveness. He's shown very good at open field tackling. He makes some rookie mistakes of, you know, in coverage and zone responsibilities and everything else, and no knock against Dwight. But moving forward, you know, if you look at the situation and if you're looking for long term, I mean, it's an interesting conversation to have. If you like Josh Evans that much, what do you do with Dwight Lowry?
Make him compete, you know?
Well, I agree with that.
You know, that'd be
but Dwight has a significant, decent salary. And
I don't think it's not in the range of Mercedes or Maurice or Posluszny, you know, but I mean, hey, look,
my whole point of saying that is there's not a long list of guys that you could that have value to trade.
Well, that's the point.
Right.
This is not a team that has the ability to go play that way. Eugene, we talked about it after the Colts made the trade for Richardson. We talked on this show. Who could you trade? And the
Eugene
only guy was Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
29-year-old running back in the final year of his deal coming off of Liz Frank. There's no value there.
Nope.
If you remember, Natron Means in 95 with San Diego ran for about 1,350 yards. They couldn't get a seventh-round pick, which is why the Jaguars were able to pull him on waivers. I mean, sorry, Maurice has 64 rushing touchdowns, 77 career, has a lot of value to this franchise, but not to anyone else.
You know, and I just, you know, getting past the value talk, I really hope that Maurice can regain some of that form.
Yep.
You know, For a lot of different reasons. One, because this football team needs it, especially going forward and trying to build something, taking the pressure off of the passing game, all those reasons. But also because he's one of the greatest players in franchise history.
You bet.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, he is by far one of the greatest Jaguars in history. And you want him to certainly not go out and with an injury to where his play is declined and then it just ends. I want to see him get better. I want to see the Maurice of old. I don't want to see the Maurice who, during the game broadcast, me and Tony both looked at each other in one play, and it might have been Corey Redding. Somebody stuck an arm out and just tripped him up. I mean, Maurice, the last couple years, that does not
He
happen.
Runs through that.
Right, runs right through it, and he doesn't even feel the arm.
Yeah, you know? I'm with Jeff. I mean, I think, number one for the season, he is the – greatest asset as far as, I mean, the type of player he has been, and if he can get back to that level, that it helps his team tremendously. Heck, and in a perfect world, you'd love to figure out a way that he gets back to that form and you find a way to keep him and he finishes his career in Jacksonville. I think that's what everyone would like long term because of what he's meant to this franchise and what he's done. So, you know, I'm with Jeff. I hope now if there's a way to – if some trade, whoever it is, maybe there's someone we're not thinking about that you can add picks that make sense for the long term of the franchise. I understand that, and you have to make those type of moves. But a guy like Maurice Jones-Drew, because of what he's meant to the franchise, I think everyone here and everyone probably listening hopes he gets back to that form and gets his legs under him and gets the strength and the offensive line does a better job up front and gives him a chance. That's part of it. It's not all on Maurice. I mean, let's not say that. And he gets back to being that top end back in the NFL.
Can they get it together in the middle of that line? I mean, I worry. You just don't see any push at all. Brad's in his 14th year.
Well, you got some change going on. You know, Rackley still looks like he's slowed from the knee injury. Uche, I think, has been on the injury report nearly every week with a knee.
Yeah.
You know, Brad is, he's
14th season.
Holy cow.
198th
career getting up there.
Start on Sunday.
You know, it's going to be a challenge for this football team. But, you know.
Heck, maybe you put McClendon in there. Find out what McClendon – I mean, if it doesn't get any better.
Oh, then more changes coming.
Yeah, put McClendon in there.
You know.
At center or guard?
I mean, wherever you need him the most.
Where he can contribute the
that's
most.
That's exactly right.
Because there just didn't – I shouldn't say – I was going to say didn't on Sunday. There doesn't appear to be much push from those guys in the middle at all.
No, and, you know, a lot of people say, well, put Brewster in there for Brad Meester. Hey, look, Mike Brewster is not a powerful guy. You know, he's a guy that you like to have as a backup because he's a smart guy, can play multiple positions. But he's not a guy that's going to be able to block a shaded nose and drive him off the ball. I mean, that's just not the type of player that he is. You know, so, you know, hey, look, if the losing keeps piling up, then you will see a lot of guys start to be inserted in the lineup to get good looks at certain players. You know, for example, on defense, you could see Leroy Reynolds be inserted as a starting linebacker, and that may happen regardless of what the record is, you know, just because I think he's going to be a good player for this football team. You know, so you could see a lot of guys. You know, Tobias Palmer. All of a sudden, you may see a Tobias Palmer instead of, you know, a Mike Brown in the future, just because a Tobias Palmer has deep speed that can stretch a defense. You know, so there's a lot of things that if
Avery Jones,
Avery Jones could be active this week. You know, so which may be good for a send Derek Marks and also Roy Miller. You know, give him an opportunity. You know, guy that. Had a lot of promise at Georgia, had the injured ankle, kind of fought through his senior year, and didn't get drafted because of, you know, the performance from the injury and all that. So, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, may get more time if the losing keeps piling up.
Well, if that's the case, if they don't get better in the middle, you got to go looking for some guys, don't you? You got to go looking for some guys off practice squad. I mean, you've got to go.
Well, I mean, perfect example is what happened today. You know,
yeah.
they got a guy off of waivers from Seattle Seahawks. I'll let you pronounce his name.
Johnny Lotulelei.
Johnny Lotulelei, an undrafted guy from what, UNLV, I believe it is?
He's a UNLV guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, UNLV, running rebel.
Immediately I thought Utah. I was thinking of the big guy.
I'm thinking of a coach chewing a towel.
Tark.
You're thinking Tarkanian.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the big defensive tackle that went to Lotulelei, who went to
Star Lotulelei.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the kind of things that are going to happen. I mean, are you going to go out and just, you know,
is it not pronounced the same way?
You can't hold tryouts, you know, every week.
It's the same.
When you've got an opportunity to claim a guy off of waivers, I mean, that's what this team is going to do. And we were talking just a little bit ago off the air. The Jaguars are now fourth in the pecking order on waiver claims.
Right.
Which is a change from them being second.
Why are we fourth
now?
Because they have four teams that are
0-4.
Right.
And they do it in order of strength of schedule. So if you played a weaker strength of schedule, you pick first. So it goes Giants, Buccaneers, Steelers, Jaguars, because the Jaguars have played a stronger strength of schedule.
Yeah, three of the teams they've lost to are 11-1.
I'm with you. It seems screwy to me.
It's crazy.
But that's
no, but I'm saying, but I mean, you look at the schedule the Jaguars have played.
Right. But if
Chiefs
they
are undefeated, Seahawks are undefeated, and the Colts are 3-1.
The first tiebreaker should be where you were at the waiver order
before
the season
right.
even started.
Right. But that's not how it is.
No, so they're fourth now.
You just got to think that what they're saying is, well, if the Giants are 0-4 against that schedule, they got to pick first.
So, and you know, a lot of people that, I mean, people that I think, I'm trying to think of the name of the caller who had the big picture thought, said, look, you know, I want to see these guys play and get better and all that. But, I mean, for those type of people, you know what they're sitting there saying? Hey, look, you know.
Grab them all.
Get anybody you can get, you know, stay at the bottom of the waiver wire. You know, keep, you know, working that bottom of the roster to improve it.
We got to take news, but before we do, would you even have any inkling at all to grab Josh Freeman? To bring him in.
No.
Now, he's not a waiver wire claim. He's a free agent. 27 touchdown passes, 4,200 yards last year. No.
Nope.
Nope.
Care to elaborate?
Too many, smoke. Okay. Or the fire. So if there's a lot of smoke, there might be a fire there burning.
No, well, but says. I think
maybe
he's
the Broncos are something's burning.
He could be a guy, though, that, you know, at the end of the season, you know, because more than likely Josh Freeman, if and when he signs with the team, is probably going to be on a 1-year deal. And then at the end of the season, then you might look at it. You might bring him in and talk to him. And then, you know, depending on where you're at with the quarterback position, you know, look at signing him to a, you know, short-term deal because he would have an opportunity to compete.
All right. We'll take a break. News is next from our friends over in the newsroom at News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. Welcome back. Jaguars Thursday. And there's a tweet here. It says, at Jags Boys, at Tony Baselli, you guys in Logs going to let Mark Brunell get a word in now. And
do they ever spend all this time talking about offensive line? Away.
You do everything here. Let's go. I'm out. I'm
backing away.
Yes, finally.
Brian, you and Mark.
Let's do this. See you guys.
I was part of this too. Hey,
you know, you're trying to find something for
I got something. It's the quarterback in St. Louis.
Yes.
Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
Who, you know, most people in Jacksonville have not seen because the Rams have not been on national television.
They haven't missed much,
by the way,
Brian.
He took it seriously, didn't he?
They're just getting after that pizza. Just what you need, Baselli, more pizza.
Have you seen him? Have you had a chance to see him?
I have. You know, he actually is having his best start of his career, first four games. His numbers are decent. 82.1 passer rating. You know, he's all right. Nothing special. I don't think he's going to go on to be great. He's getting killed back there. He's managing. He's doing. He's not the problem. 1-3. Does he have potential? Yeah. Has he had moments? Yes. But Jaguar fans haven't seen him. But
it strikes me that he's not all that different than Blaine Gabbert, except that he's not on his third head coach, third offensive coordinator, quarterback's
big.
Coach hasn't had a lot of weapons.
Well, he's got a new.
There's no running game here.
He's got a, Schottenheimer, who I've had some experience with. Good coordinator. He's got a good system, and you know, I've heard, you know, Sam's a smart kid and works very hard. I don't think he's anything special. I mean, right. He could beat you, no question. He's not bad for the Rams to have.
$50 million. He was the last guy that got it.
Yeah, he was.
They changed the rookie deal the next year.
Yep, good timing, Sam.
$50 million payout, which is amazing. But it goes to show the value they put on the position, because they took a guy that, I mean, he had a bad shoulder when they brought him out.
Yep.
And he's had some shoulder issues early in his career.
Ankle too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, these guys aren't. They're not even close to the microphone.
I'll help you guys out.
Thank.
Let
you.
Us know. You just couldn't help yourself.
No, I mean,
we figured it wouldn't take long.
You're floundering, trying to save the sinking ship here. You just hit the Matthews.
We were doing just fine. We were just. It was just.
You just
casual.
Hit the Matthews Bridge, and it's like the whole thing's shaking.
There wasn't a lot of yelling and screaming, but it was fine.
All right, I got a couple issues with what Mark said. Brian Schottenheimer, good coordinator. Where's that been?
I was going to say, I watched the game. It's the some of the play design. You might want to block that play side linebacker. I don't know. It's a good idea.
Sorry, Mark.
I was with Shotty for 2 years. I think he's a good coordinator.
Has he had a lot to work with? No, but he's been
no,
under
he
fire
has
a
not.
Lot.
He has been under fire, but a lot of that has to do
great coaching
with
comes with great players.
Who you're working with, and it's all about
he's got to do a better job of selecting the job.
I guess at that time they were hard to come by, but he's a bright coordinator, and you know, one of those guys you'd love to have a solid quarterback. You know,
I'll say this: what Mark was saying about Bradford. I mean, I don't think he's that bad.
He got great arm talent,
and I think he has like what Mark said. He has potential. He could be pretty good. That offensive line is not very good. I mean, they are.
How much they spend on Jake Long?
I don't know. It's too much.
Too much. too much. Whatever they paid Jake Long, it was too much money. Jake Long is a good player in the running game. Solid player in the running game, but as a pass protector, the Miami Dolphins, I think, did the right thing because he is not a very good pass protector.
They had him for 5 years, and they didn't want to keep him.
No. No, and I like the right tackle that was formerly the left tackle, Saffel, Roger
he's
Saffel. Saw.
He's not very physical.
No, but he's got good feet.
Very good feet.
Good feet.
Pushed around.
Does pretty good in the running game.
Harvey Dahl can't move.
The right guard's terrible, Harvey
My
Dahl.
My goodness.
The center's not very good.
Do you realize how bad they have to be for us to be saying that?
Chris Williams is all right.
He's okay. Yeah, he's
Chris
okay.
Williams, who was a tackle, moved to guard. He's a big, strong kid.
Yeah, he was a first-round pick of the Bears.
But he's their best one. He's their best lineman.
Yeah, you could make an argument that he's better than Jake Long.
Yeah.
As far as performance so far this season.
But they're not very good. They can't run it an inch. I mean, listen, we can't run the ball, and they're worse than us.
We're 1-4, babe. We're going to win this one.
I like it.
I'm telling you. It's a good matchup.
Give it up.
We're going
to
win.
There you go. I'm with you.
Just need a win. We just need a win.
Huh? Oh, no, and four.
We're going to be.
Oh, going to be. Okay.
We're going to be 1-4. That's my point. This is our week.
Clean your ears out.
Well, I just misunderstood. I could hear.
1-4.
1-4.
I'm telling you. You just got to win one. Everything changes after a win. Right, Jeff?
It can.
Yep.
It can, but you got to get one.
You got to get one.
Do you want to go out on that limb?
No, I mean, I don't think this. I mean, I think this is going to be a tough game for this team. I mean, I really do.
They're all going to be tough.
I mean, it.
But this.
I felt good about last week's game against the Colts. And I think if you go back and you look at the early part of that game, the Colts weren't smooth on offense. Andrew Luck was off point a little bit.
Yep.
And they make the Jaguars make some mistakes that hurt themselves that could have changed the dynamic of that game. I mean, Tony, but we felt good about that game.
I did.
Game.
And I'll say this. I probably feel a little bit better than Jeff about this game only because, I mean, the two ends that they have, Chris Long and
terrific.
Robert Quinn, very good. I don't know if Long's terrific. He's a very try-hard, plays hard, and he can make you look bad.
Okay.
Robert Quinn is terrific.
Right.
And they're solid. Their defense is solid. I don't think their secondary is real good. Cortland Finnegan is – I don't know what he's
– He hadn't practiced the last 2 days.
He's lost it.
He's lost. Yeah.
The safety that they had that broke his leg
McDonald's.
Last week,
yeah, the third
R.J. McDonald.
T.J.
McDonald.
T.J. McDonald was not very good.
Hey,
he was not.
Don't talk about it.
But Janoris Jenkins –
Yeah. Good player.
Can flat out play.
Good player. But the reason I like this game probably more than Jeff is their offense is atrocious. It's not very good. Their offensive line's not very good. They can't run the ball. No one outside scares you. Yeah, they have some speed with Chris Givens who can fly. Tavon Austin can fly, but he's tiny. You can overwhelm him, I think. And so this is a game. Listen, we can't score any points, and we're struggling to move. And so I think this is a game where the defense can really play well, hold this team to a low point output. And then it takes one or two big plays.
The difference.
To make a difference. And if you can make those one or two big plays, then you can win this ballgame.
All right, let's break. When we come back, we'll look at Week 5 in the National Football League, including tonight's game between the Cleveland Browns and the Buffalo Bills. And we're back after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, here we go. One more segment, Jaguars Thursday. Let's go around the National Football League. Get your opinion on these games. Buffalo at Cleveland, EJ Manuel.
By the way, I just want to admit that I was absolutely terrible last week.
I was too. I went back. I was awful.
I was terrible.
Yeah, I didn't do very good.
How about you?
I think Mark, you won.
I did real well.
First time all year.
I remember. No
Man,
one else
he was
does
picking
either.
The wrong games last week.
I still won.
All right, so here we go. Buffalo at Cleveland. Buffalo's got a young quarterback who's starting to show something.
Brian Hoyer, all of a sudden, is the
2-0 since trading Richardson.
National talk radio. I mean, they're. I agree with you. I'm just saying.
I'm gonna take Buffalo.
Really?
In Cleveland,
I will too.
Other than you, just
I like take Cleveland. Cleveland has a better defense, and it's a tough defense.
They're good. There's a couple of those defensive linemen they got from a couple years ago draft.
Yes.
The defensive end, and then that defensive tackle. They're good players.
I think Cleveland wins the game.
I think Mario Williams runs wild.
All right.
Okay.
Thought?
Yeah,
Who are you going with?
You know what? That's a tough one.
You just said Buffalo a second ago.
Yeah, I'm changing my mind. I'm gonna say Cleveland. I'm going
to
say Cleveland.
Way to come to the right side.
Well, we'll
see. I'll take you to the promised land.
I'm going to keep track this week. All right. So New Orleans is in Chicago.
That is going to be Bears. Outside. Actually, it's not cold, though, yet, is it?
No. Not cold, cold.
Not cold, cold. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. New Orleans look good on Monday night.
Yeah, how can you not pick them?
I'm going to the Saints.
That tight end that they have.
Jimmy Graham is
it. Wow.
Beast Saints, yes.
Darren Sproles.
No wonder Drew Brees puts up good numbers. You got Darren Sproles, who no one can cover man-to-man.
Nobody.
And you got Jimmy Graham, where you just throw it up into double coverage, and he's going to come up with it 9 out of 10 times.
And he's going to make a lot of money next year.
The interesting thing about that, they're saying if the Saints franchise him, he's playing more wide receiver right now than tight end where they're lining him up.
That means so no money.
He'll have an argument that they'll have to franchise him at the wide receiver number, which is much higher than the tight end number.
Did I see that he was the very first tight end to ever win the NFC Offensive Player of the Month Award? First tight end to ever win it, which is kind of surprising when you consider there's some good tight ends.
I've seen him play.
Gonzalez is not in the NFC or has not been.
Well, but no tight ends ever won the conference player of the month award.
Either one.
Never. And I'm thinking about Antonio Gates in San Antonio and Kellen Winslow.
I mean San Diego.
What'd I say?
San Antonio. They don't have a football team.
San Antonio. Okay, it's getting to the end of the show.
They don't have a team.
San Antonio.
But I'll say this. I was
heading west.
I've seen Jimmy Graham in person doing the games nationally the last few years. And that dude.
Did you write down that? No, I got the Bills.
Unbelievable.
Oh, you did the Bills.
I got the Bills. Okay. I got the Bills and I got the Saints.
Right. I got the Saints too.
Okay. So, New England at Cincinnati.
Where is that game?
New England at Cincinnati.
Oh, at Cincinnati.
Yeah. Clear the wax out of your ears. Heard that somewhere tonight.
Yeah, exactly. I think I said that earlier.
Thanks, Loggy.
Oh, gosh. Do you pick against Tom Brady?
Not in this one.
I'm going Cincinnati.
Cincinnati got beat at home. Oh, no, they got beat in Cleveland last week.
I'm going Cincinnati.
Okay.
Cincy for me.
That's just a game that New England's going to lose, I think.
Brady.
No Vince Wilfork.
Brady.
Gotcha.
Detroit at Green Bay. Time for
Green Bay coming off the bye week. They're going to blitz them.
That's a good call.
Green Bay will not lose.
Packers.
That's the lock of the week.
You think?
Here's a good one.
I don't know.
I wouldn't call it lock.
I'm locking it.
Lock it down.
Seattle at Indianapolis. They go from the frying pan to the fire.
You know, it's interesting. I've heard a lot of people picking around, listening to the national stuff, picking Indy.
Really?
I don't see it.
I've seen both Seattle.
Yeah, I think Seattle's defense will overwhelm that offensive line. They'll hit luck. And I think the Marshawn Lynch train is going to be heading down Lucas Oil Field quite a bit.
The greatest thing to watch in that game is going to be whether it be Richard Sherman or the Brandon Browner cover Reggie Wayne.
I hope they match Richard Sherman and Reggie Wayne the whole day, because that'd be a great match. Two great players.
That's must-see TV right there.
Baltimore at Miami.
I'm taking Miami.
Coming off a loss. Both are coming off of a loss.
Short week for Miami. Baltimore's awful right now. They got Eugene Monroe, though, so.
He's a Pro Bowler.
Baltimore?
Our caller
said put you down
future
for the
Pro Bowler.
Now, I really liked the way Miami started out that game against New Orleans. I mean, I thought, oh, okay, here we go.
And I think if you look back at the game, the way it was going back and forth, both teams were moving the ball.
Turnover.
If Tannehill doesn't turn over that one where he scrambles and gives New Orleans a short field, puts them up by 2 scores, I think it's a completely different game. So I like Miami in that game as well.
Yeah, me too.
Jeff?
No, Miami.
Miami.
Oh, yeah. Set it right out of the gate. I like what right. Philbin's doing down there. He's
we're
doing
agreeing
a good job.
Too much.
Well, things
got to
stir
it up. We're
all the same except for Loggy. He went against you all with the Bills.
The Bills.
Philly at the Giants. Dun, dun, dun.
I think this
I'm taking Philly.
I'm taking the Giants.
You're not taking Tom?
No, I'm not taking Tom.
I'm taking Tom because Philly's defense is so bad. I mean, they're so bad.
But the offensive line for the Giants is terrible.
They're getting on a roll.
Trent Cole may have 4 sacks.
Only because the Giants aren't going to be in the last place of the pecking order of picking free agents. I'm going to New York.
Yeah. Kansas City at Tennessee.
You're going with the Giants,
I'm
too,
going
Mark?
With Tom. Tom. All right. All right. That's my guy.
So Tom Brady.
That's my guy.
Tom.
All right. Kansas City 4-0 at Tennessee 3-1.
Kansas City all day long, no Jake Locker.
When did you ever think you'd say that?
Well, they're going to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick. They should have signed. I don't know why they didn't keep Hasselbeck. He wanted to stay in Tennessee, and they didn't want to pay him the money, so he went to Seattle. New England. I mean,
yeah,
Indianapolis.
Fitzpatrick, though. I mean, he's capable. I'm taking Tennessee.
You're crazy. KC's going to blow the door.
Yeah, I think KC's got this one.
Okay.
I'm just going to be different.
You're different twice.
Yeah, three times.
All right, we're on a different streak now. Carolina at Arizona.
What a bad game.
Gosh. Do we have to pick?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Isn't Carolina coming off a bye week?
No.
No?
What
did they do last week?
Hold on.
They had a bye, I believe.
Did they? I guess they and Green Bay had the bye.
Yeah.
All right, they are coming off a bye.
So you're taking who?
Who are you picking?
That's
a bad game.
Well, the Cardinals traded their left tackle, Levi Brown.
Who was no
Pittsburgh
good.
Steelers, I mean, who absolutely got wore out by
everybody.
Robert Quinn of the Rams in week one. I'm not a believer in Carson Palmer. I'm not a believer in Cam Newton, but more of a believer in Cam Newton. I'm taking the Panthers.
I'm going to go with the USC Trojan quarterback, Carson Palmer.
I can't go with the Kangol hat. Just can't do it.
I'm going with Arizona.
We're different again.
You didn't go for
Mark's copying me.
Yeah,
no,
that's
it. He didn't copy you. He didn't take Cincy. He took New England.
Yeah.
So he went against you there.
I'll go against you next game.
Denver, Dallas.
Oh, easy, Denver.
Dang it.
Go ahead and pick Dallas.
Where's it at? Is that Dallas?
I don't care where.
Dallas.
I'm going Dallas. They can play on the moon.
I don't know.
I think that's a really good matchup. But
I put D down.
I'm going Dallas. It's
you know,
I'm going Jack Del Rio.
I'm thinking that Denver's a little distracted defensively because Del Rio's probably thinking about that SC job. but Peyton Manning is playing so well, I'm taking Denver.
All right. A couple more here. Houston at San Francisco.
San Fran. Houston's not tough enough to go into San Francisco.
Well, you are precise with your picks.
I know the league.
Well, there's one position. There's one position. I mean, if the quarterback position were different, your thought would be different.
Don't you think Shelby comes back?
No.
Okay.
I think they hit him, and I don't think they can run the ball. Aaron Foster's not the same. Ben Tate's a good player. And I think San Francisco. They're more physical. I think they'll move it.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me. In San Fran, I'll take San Fran.
Yeah, I'm going to take San Francisco too.
If it were in Houston, I'd take Houston.
But we're not. We're in
San
Francisco.
By the way, the sight of J.J. Watt in last week's game
was great.
With the blood and the lip looking like it, you know, was coming apart.
How about this, Logs? I'll get your opinion. You're a defensive expert. Prisco tried to argue with me Monday night that Ndamukong Suh's playing better right now than J.J. Watt.
No way.
That's what I said. That was the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Pete, stick to quarterback evaluation. Yeah.
Pete, shut up.
All right. Houston. Oh, we got that one. San Diego at Oakland. This is a 11:35 Eastern time kickoff Sunday.
Yeah, because of the baseball game. Yeah. San Diego.
Yeah,
Terrell Pryor's terrible.
I'll go San Diego, too.
By the way, have we discussed it? Is that where our friend Josh Freeman ends
up? I think that could possibly be a landing spot for him. They could just go ahead and just part ways with Matt Flynn. I mean, with the way that the head coach, Dennis Allen, came out
oh my God.
And just ripped Matt Flynn after
his third
start.
Quarterback.
I mean, if I'm a player on that team and the head coach does that to a guy who gave it his all, gave it his best.
You assume that.
I mean – well, yeah, you do assume that, but, I mean, why would you not?
I don't know.
But, I mean, that was brutal. I mean, I appreciate his honesty. But, you know, part of being a head coach is, you know, is protecting your players and protecting your team.
He decided not to do that.
And he just totally –
all right, come on. We only got a minute. We got two games
Smitty
left.
Smitty or the Jets?
Smitty. Where's the game?
I don't care
Atlanta.
Where it is, Smitty.
Yeah,
Smitty,
I'm going no to Atlanta, question. Too.
Geno's horrible. Too cautious.
Too careful.
Whoa, I thought cautious was
careful.
The was
too careful.
That's
what
his
do you mean?
Problem. He's not careful enough.
He has the most turnovers in the league.
Ripping it.
Hey, what was it? The number one sign? He gave the number one sign and said, "I'm going to go after
it."
It
didn't work very well.
No,
he's got 11. What 11 turnovers?
Yes.
In four
games.
Is
that the Sunday night game
that he was responsible for?
Monday.
That's why Sanchez is not getting surgery.
Sunday night game is the. Houston and San Francisco, and then the San
Good
Diego
game.
At Oakland.
Gotcha.
Oakland.
Good
All
game.
Right. We'll see you on the plane.